Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody. What a moment you have brought us to, God. Such a freedom we have found in you. You're the healer who makes all things new. We're not looking back. We're moving ahead. We're going forward this morning, forward in the word of God. And I'm sorry, I just got to come in with a little bragging rights, a little bitty bragging rights. On last night at church midweek service, we had a great time. We had pizza with the pastor and cupcakes for our birthday young people, Kaylin and Andre, two of our absolutely awesome young people who work so diligently in the church. Kaylin is a member of the adult praise team, and Andre is a member of the youth praise team, and just always helping out wherever they are needed. So shout out to them for a wonderful birthday on yesterday. But we had pizza with the pastor for our youth and adults, and we just had a great time. And we had a trivia contest. Whew, it was heated and it was fun, and we had a great time, lots of laughter. You know, when the answer was wrong, the other team could grab it, and so we grabbed a couple of answers from the other team, but they grabbed some from us too. But we won, and the name of our team was Blessed, and I can say God blessed last night. We won trivia contest for Bible trivia and have bragging rights. So, praise be to God. And for all of you, for us moving forward, I got a lot of words and learned a lot of words and love to teach it. So thanking God and thanking all of you. You know, it was good time. And again, for those that had not been with us for a while, just have to announce that Dr. Charles Stanley, who is an integral part of this blog and this show, we are reading from his daily Bible, the Charles Stanley Life Principles Daily Bible, Biblical Principles for Each Day of the Year, is our study material for this year and next year. And it just kind of dawned on me that Dr. Stanley has passed on to be with the Lord. He died on Wednesday, on tax day, the 18th, Wednesday. And so just want you guys to please keep his family in prayer. You know, he was 90 years old, and all I can say is a great man of God. And, you know, just one of his quotes is from our word today. When God wants to do a mighty thing in our lives, he may first reduce our physical resources in order to demonstrate that he accomplishes. Wow, what a mighty God. God is in charge of everything. God will use us in our good. God will use us in our bad. As we know on yesterday, Gideon, our Jerubbaal, tested God every chance he got. You know, well, not trying to talk, you know, Lord, just, but if there's dew in the fleece and the floor is dry, you know, do not be angry with me, but let me speak just one more. Let me test. Pray just once more with the fleece. Let it now be dry only on the fleece, but on all the ground, let it be dew. I did so that night. It was dry on the fleece only, but there was dew on all the ground. You know, we can't test God. You know, and so this morning, God, you know, gave the word. It's from also from Gideon and his mighty men. You know, he was awesome. He was mighty. But the Lord shall rule over you is what he told his people. You know, he did great things. But, you know, now they want to make him a leader. Well, you're going to rule over us. And he's like, back that up. Over you, and the Lord rules over us. You know, so many times we want to try to take God's place and do God's job, and we cannot. There is only one God, and he is in charge of everything. All we have to do is follow. Whatever you lead me, Lord, that's where I go, is what our word should be at all times. Wherever you lead me, Lord, that's where I'll go. I will walk in your light. I will walk in your praise. I will walk where you tell me to walk. Father, we come to you this morning with a humble heart, ready to receive your word, God, ready to let you lead us, God, ready to let you teach us, God, through your loving word, through this word, this biblical instruction before leaving us. So, Father God, I lift up each and every participant last evening who participated in Bible trivia and reading your word and studying word and knowing your word. But you are in charge of everything, Lord God. You have given wisdom. You have given valor. You have given everything that you can get and give, including the sun standing still and the moon and the sun stand in their same places. So Joshua could win the battle. Lord God, we know the battles are not ours, but yours that we fight. So Father God, I lift up all your children today, asking you to guide us and lead us and show us the way, Lord, that we will walk in righteousness, that we will walk in faith, that we will walk in the way of your guidance, God. Keep us in our light. Keep us in our square, God. That we will give you glory, that we will give you honor, that we will give you praise. Lord God, I ask you to bless and watch over the sick and the studying. Bless our pastors, Lord God. Bless our churches, Lord God. Bless each and every person that listens in live or listens in later, God. Whatever medium they listen in on, God, I ask your blessings to overflow over them, that they will get a word that will touch their heart, that will touch their mind, and that will touch their spirit. And Lord God, if they do not know Jesus as their Lord and Savior, may a word touch them where they will say, what must I do to be saved? That they accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior and know that there is no other way, Savior, Jesus Christ. Father God, I lift again this word and ask you again to increase as I decrease. Father, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my humble heart be acceptable in your holy and divine sight. For you are my strength and you are my redeemer. You are my Father, God. You are my friend. And I ask you to come in, take a seat, and guide us through this word this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here this morning. Hallelujah. We give honor to God, who is the source of our strength and the strength of our life. Hallelujah. The Lord rules over you. God is in charge of everything. And we got to look up and know who we belong to. The Lord shall rule over you. So pray that you got, pray that you have your Bibles. Please join me in Judges chapter 7. This is Old Testament Friday, and we will be in Judges 7, 8, 9, 10, 9 and 10, and 11 and 12. So we'll be all the way into Judges 9, 10, 11, and 12 on today. And, oh, my, you know, there's a word that we will get to that will just break your heart. Because sometimes you have to be, no, not sometimes, all the time, you have to be careful of what vows you make. Don't make vows that you cannot keep. Well, Lord, if, no, don't make any vows. Don't make any vows that you cannot keep, because sometimes the vow you have to keep can be tragic. And we're going to have a tragedy in our lesson today. So let's get it going. So then Jerubbaal, that is Gideon, and all the people who were with him rose early in the camp beside the well of Herod. That the camp of the Midianites was on the north side of them by the hill of Moriah in the valley. And the Lord said to Gideon, the people who are with you are too many for me to give the Midianites into their hands. Let Israel claim glory for itself against me, saying, my own hand has saved me. Now therefore proclaim in the hearing of the people, saying, whoever is fearful and afraid, let him turn and depart at once from Mount Gilead. And 22,000 of the people returned, 1,000 remained. Now think about that, 32,000 fighting men. And when he said, if you're scared, go home. And 22,000 of them left. Two-thirds left. So he has now 10,000 men. And it says, but the Lord said to Gideon, the people are still too many. Bring them down to the water, and I will test them for you there. Then it will be that if that of whom I save you, this one shall go with you, the same shall go with you, and of whomever I save you, this one shall go with you, the same shall not. So he brought the people down to the water. And the Lord said to Gideon, everyone who laps from the water with his tongue as a dog laps, you shall set apart by himself. Likewise, everyone who gets down on his knees to drink, and the number of those who lapped, putting their hand on their mouth, were 300 men. But all the rest of the people got down on their knees to drink water. Then the Lord said to Gideon, by the 300 men who lapped, I will save you and deliver the Midianites into your hands. Let all the other people go, every man to his place. So the people took provisions and their trumpets in their hands. And he sent away all the rest of Israel, every man to his tent, and retained those 300 men. Now the camp of Midian was below him in the valley. It happened on the same night that the Lord said to him, arise, go down against the camp, for I have delivered it into your hands. But if you are afraid to go down to the camp with Pura, your servant, and you shall hear what they say, and afterwards your hand shall be strengthened to go down against the camp. Then he went down with Pura, his servant, to the outpost of the armed who were in the camp. Now the Midianites and the Amalekites, all the people of the east, were lying in the valley as numerous as locusts, and their camels were without number as the sand by the seashore is multiplied. And when Gideon had come, there was a man telling a dream to his companion. He said, I have had a dream. To my surprise, a loaf of barley bread tumbled into the camp of Midian. It came to a tent and struck it so that it fell and overturned, and the tent collapsed. Then his companion answered and said, this is nothing else but the sword of Gideon, the son of Joash, a man of Israel, into his hand. God has delivered Midian and the whole camp. Wow. God gave a dream to the enemy to tell him, you're going to lose. You're going to lose. How awful is that to feel, knowing that you're not going to win this battle? Because the battle is not going to be yours. It's going to be the Lord's. And the Lord has already chosen that Israel would be the one to win this battle. So let's keep moving. It's a great word this morning. Kind of exciting and intriguing and has so many good things. So then his companion answered and said, "This is nothing else but the sword of Gideon, the son of Joash, a man of Israel. Into his hand God has delivered Midian and the whole camp." And so it was when Gideon heard the telling of the dream and his interpretation that he worshipped. He returned to the camp of Israel and said, "Arise, for the Lord has delivered the camp of the Midian to your hands." Then he divided the 300 men into three companies, and he put a trumpet into every man's hand, and empty pitchers and torches inside the pitchers. And he said to them, "Look at me and do likewise. Watch, and when I come to the edge of the camp, you shall do as I do. When I blow the trumpet, I and all who are with me, when you also blow the trumpet on every side of the whole camp and say, 'The sword of the Lord and of Gideon.' So Gideon and the 100 men who were with him came to the outpost of the camp at the beginning of the middle watch, just as they had posted the watch, and they blew the trumpets and broke the pitchers that were in their hands. Then the three companies blew the trumpet and broke the pitchers. They held the torches in their left hand and the trumpet in their right hand for blowing, and they cried, 'The sword of the Lord and of Gideon!' And every man stood in his place all around the camp, and the whole army ran and cried out and fled. When the 300 blew the trumpet of the Lord, set every man's sword against his companion throughout the whole camp. And the army fled to Beth Acacia towards Zerah, as far as the border of Abel-Meholah, by Tabith. And the men of Israel gathered together from Naphtali, Asher, and Manasseh, and pursued the Midianites. Then Gideon sent messengers throughout the mountain of Ephraim, saying, 'Come down against the Midianites and seize from them the watering places as far as Bethbara and the Jordan.' Then all the men of Ephraim gathered together and seized the watering places as far as Bethbara and the Jordan, and they kept the two princes of the Midianites, Orb and Zeb. They killed Orb at the rock of Orb, and Zeb they killed at the winepress of Zeb. They pursued Midian and brought the heads of Orb and Zeb to Gideon on the other side of the Jordan. Now the men of Ephraim said to him, 'Why have you done this to us by not calling us when you went to fight with the Midianites?' And they reprimanded him sharply. So he said to them, 'What have I done now in comparison with you? Is not the gleaning of the grapes of Ephraim better than the vintage of Ephesus? God has delivered into your hands the princes of Midian, Oreb and Zeb. And what was I able to do in comparison with you?' Then their anger toward him subsided when he said that. When Gideon came to the Jordan, he and the 300 men who were with him crossed over, exalted but still in pursuit. Then he said to the men of Succoth, 'Please give loaves of bread to the people who follow me, but they are exhausted, and I'm pursuing Zeba and Zalmunna, kings of Midian.' And the leaders of Succoth said, 'Are the hands of Zeba and Zalmunna now in your hand that we should give bread to your army?' Messing up, aren't they? So Gideon said, 'For this cause, when the Lord has delivered Zeba and Zalmunna into my hands, then I will tear your flesh with the thorns of the wilderness and with briars.' Then he went up from there to Bunel and spoke to them in the same way. And the men of Bunel answered him as the men of Succoth had answered. So he also spoke to the men of Bunel, saying, 'When I come back in peace, I will tear down this tower.' Now Zeba and Zalmunna were at Karkor, and their armies with them, about 15,000 of all who were left of all the army of the people of the east, but 120,000 men who drew the sword had fallen. Then Gideon went up by the road of those who dwelt in tents on the east of Noba and Gibeah, and he attacked the army while the camp felt secure. When Zeba and Zalmunna fled, he pursued them, and he took the two kings of Midian, Zeba and Zalmunna, and routed the whole army. Then Gideon, the son of Joash, returned from battle from the accent of hers, and he caught a young man of the men of Succoth and interrogated him, and he wrote down for him the leaders of Succoth and his elders, 77 men. There he came to the men of Succoth and said, "Here are Zeba and Zalmunna, about whom you ridicule me, saying, 'Are the hands of Zeba and Zalmunna now in your hand, that we should give bread to your weary men?' And he took the elders of the city and thorns of the wilderness and fires, and with them he sought the men of Succoth. Then he tore down the tower of Punel and killed the men of the city. And he said to Zeba and Zalmunna, 'What kind of men were they whom you killed at Tabor?' So they answered, as you are, so were they. Each one resembled the son of a king." Then he said, "They were my brothers, the sons of my mother. As the Lord lives, if you had let them live, I would not kill you." And he said to Jether, his firstborn, "Rise, kill them." But the youth would not draw his sword, for he was afraid because he was still a youth. So Zeba and Zalmunna said, "Rise yourself and kill us, for as a man is, so is his strength." So Gideon arose and killed Zeba and Zalmunna and took the crescent ornaments that were on their camels' necks. Then the men of Israel said to Gideon, "Rule over us, both you and your son and your grandson also, for you have delivered us from the hand of the Midianites." And this is our title. It's coming from this word this morning. And he said, but Gideon said to them, "I will not rule over you, nor shall my son rule over you. You, the Lord, shall rule over you." And I say this morning to all of us, the Lord rules over us. Over my own life, God rules over it. Whatever I got to do, God is in charge. God rules over our lives. Lord, everybody. Gideon said to them, "I would like to make a request of you, that each of you would give me the earrings from his plunder." But they had golden earrings because they were Ishmaelites. So they answered, "We will gladly give them." And they spread out a garment, and each man threw into it earrings from the plunder. Now the weight of the gold earrings that he requested was 1,700 shekels of gold, beside the crescent ornaments, pendants, and purple robes, which were on the kings of Midian, and besides the chains that were around the camel's neck. Then Gideon made into it an ephod and set it up in the city. Ophrah, and all Israel played the harlot with it. There it became a snare to Gideon and to the house. Because what he did was he created an idol, not understanding what he was doing, but he created an idol, started worshiping it. They started worshiping this ephod that he created in honor of God, but it became a snare and an idol. And it goes on to tell us, thus Midian was subdued before the children of Israel, so that they lifted their heads no more. And the country was quiet for, bear with me, 40 years. Days of Gideon. Then Jerubbaal, the son of Joash, went and dwelt in his own house. Gideon had 70 sons who were his own offspring, for he had many wives. And his concubine, who was in Shechem, also bore him a son, whose name was Abimelech. Now Gideon, the son of Joash, died at a good old age and was buried in the tomb of Joash, his father, and all of Israel. So it was as soon as Gideon was dead that the children of Israel again played the harlot with the Baals and made Baal Berith their rock, their god. Thus the children of Israel did not remember the Lord their God who had delivered them from the hand of all their enemies on the other, on every side. Nor did they show kindness to the house of Jerubbaal, Gideon, in accordance with the good he had done for Israel. History unknown is history forgotten. People didn't know this kid, this next generation, probably had no clue who Jerubbaal was. Probably had no clue that he had saved their behind again. They didn't have a clue that what was going on was that this man had given everything for Israel. And so they were like, oh, we don't know them. They just, them 70 boys over there, they don't have their daddy. Okay, that's not my problem. Okay. But when them boys who have been taught by a mighty man of valor turn on you, what you going to say? But I digress. Let's get into what Dr. Stanley had to say for this chapter, this word, for this morning, these chapters. It says in chapter 7 of the book of Judges that the people who are with you are too many. When God wants to do a mighty thing in our lives, he may first reduce our physical resources in order to demonstrate that he accomplishes the feat and not we ourselves. Judges 7:7, by the 300 men who left, I will save you and deliver the Midianites into your hand. On hearing these odd instructions for battle, Gideon may have felt as Joshua no doubt did many years before at Jericho. But both men obeyed and both men won a great victory. Think about it. In Joshua's case, walk around the walls 7 times. Be quiet now. Can't say a word. And the walls will fall down. And you think to yourself, now wait a minute. How are these walls going to fall down? And all I'm doing is walking around it. Because God can do all things. He's in charge of everything. He's in charge of your life. What I love what Dr. Stanley tells us. Says adversity reveals our strengths and weaknesses. When adversity strikes, we find out I'm made up. Perhaps you've said in the aftermath of some hardship, before this happened, I never would have thought that I could deal with something like this. Gideon had that type of understanding. When the angel of the Lord said to him, the Lord is with you, you mighty man of valor. Gideon automatically responded, oh, my Lord, if the Lord is with us, why then has all this happened to us? The Lord has forsaken us. Judges 6:12-13, we read that yesterday. Gideon saw himself and his people as weak and unworthy. The Lord replied almost as if he hadn't heard him, go in the night of yours, that you shall save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have I not sent you? Again, Gideon replied with an extremely low view of himself. Oh, my Lord, how can I save Israel? Indeed, my clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house. Once more, the Lord encouraged Gideon, surely I will be with you, and you shall defeat the Midianites as one man. Friend, when the Lord calls you strong, don't declare yourself weak. When the Lord says you are forgiven, don't dwell on your sins. When the Lord says you are righteous, don't see yourself as guilty. Never try to cope with adversity on your own. You need the Lord's help at any time. We need the Lord's help. Every hour of every day of every year. As he is our ever-present help. Gideon remembered the lesson when God instructed them to fight the Midianites with only 300 men. That's why he was able to motivate his troops with such courage, saying, arise, for the Lord has delivered the camp of Midian into your hands. Joshua didn't say, I'm going to do it. I'm going to get this. I'm going to deliver them into your hands. He did not say that. He said, the Lord will do it. And that is what happened. The Lord did it. God is in charge of everything. We know that everything else falls into place. And it goes on to say, our strength lies in the Lord and not in ourselves. No comparison between the might and ability of God and of human God. He is infinite. We are finite. When we rely on the Lord, we have access to his unlimited power and wisdom. Therefore, we will not end up as failures. However, when we attempt to rely on ourselves, usually we fail miserably and often suffer even more adversity. Don't make that mistake. Rather, like Gideon, depend on God's strength. God can work through your weaknesses in miraculous ways. So trust him. We got to trust God in everything. Whatever that big bill is that's looking you in the face, understand you can pay it because God's going to make sure you have the resources. Praise the Lord, everybody. Praise the Lord, saints. This is a mighty, mighty word this morning. Chapter 9 of Judges. Then Abimelech, the son of Jeroboam, went to Shechem to his mother's brothers and spoke with them, with all the family of the house of his mother's father, saying, please speak in the hearing of all the men of Shechem. And remember, this is the concubine's son. I believe that they talked about him in our chapter today. Let me find who he was. Here it is. Verse 29. Then Jerubbaal, the son of Joash, went and dwelt in his own house. Gideon had 70 sons who were his offspring, for he had many wives. And his concubine, who was in Shechem, also bore him a son, whose name was called Abimelech. Okay? Now he had other children, but this one was born of a concubine, which means he was born not from one of the wives, but from one of his outside women, I guess, who he chose. So let's see what's going on. Now, this is the one that's wanting to take over. So listen to what this young man is doing. You know, there are folks that want power, and they will do. So this boy went to his family, and he said, please speak in the hearing of all the men of Shechem, which is be better for you than all 70 of the sons of Jeroboam reign over you or the one reign over you. Remember that I am your own flesh and blood. And his mother's brother spoke all these words concerning him in the hearing of all the men of Shechem. And their heart was inclined to follow Abimelech. For they said, he is our brother. So they gave him 70 shekels of silver from the temple of Baal-berith, in which Abimelech hired worthless and reckless men. And they followed him. Then he went to his father's house at Ophrah. And killed his brothers, the 70 sons of Jeroboam, on one stone. But Jotham, the youngest son of Jeroboam, was left because he hid himself. And all the men of Shechem gathered together, all of Beth Milo, and they went and made Abimelech king before the Jeroboam tree. Ooh. Think about it. They killed 70 sons of this man, killed his children and left one because he hid. And then made himself king. Now when they told Jotham, he went and stood on top of Mount Gerizim and lifted his voice and cried out. And he said to them, listen to me, you men of Shechem, that God may listen to you. The trees went forth to anoint a king over them. And they said to the olive tree, reign over us. But the olive tree said to them, should I cease giving my oil? They honor God. Excuse me. God, and then go display over tree. The tree said to the fig tree, you come and reign over us. But the fig tree said to them, should I cease my sweetness and go to sway over trees? Then the tree said to the vine, you come and reign over us. But the vine said to them, should I cease my new wine, which cheers both God and men, and go and sway over trees? Then all the trees said to the bramble, you come and reign over us. And the bramble said to the tree, If in truth, you anoint me as king over you, then come and take shelter in my shade. And if not, let fire come out of the bramble and divide the cedars of Lebanon. Now, therefore, if you have acted and sincerely make it Abimelech king, and if you have dwelt with Jeroboam and his house, and have done to him as he deserves. For my father fought for you, risked his life, and delivered you out of the hands of Midian. But you have risen up against my father's house this day, and killed his 70 sons on one stone, and made Abimelech the son of his female servant king over the men of Shechem, because he is your brother. If then you have acted in truth, if you had acted in truth, say it again, if you had acted in truth, which they did not, and sincerity with Jeroboam, and with his house this day, then rejoice in Abimelech, and let him also rejoice in you. But if not, let fire come from and divide the men of Shechem and Beth Millo, and let fire come from the men of Shechem and from Beth Millo, and devour Abimelech. And Jotham ran away and fled, and he went to Beer and dwelt there for fear of Abimelech and his brother. After Abimelech had reigned over Israel 3 years, God sent an ill will between Abimelech and the men of Shechem. The men of Shechem dealt treacherously with Abimelech, that the crime done to the 70 sons of Jeroboam might be settled, and their blood this brother killed his 70 brothers to be a king, a position that he was once not equipped to have. He talked all these men into following him, who should not have, and they did what he said. And now this little brother basically has cursed them. And he goes on to tell him, you know, after Abimelech had reigned 3 years, think about this, 3 years, God sent a spirit of ill will between Abimelech and the men of Shechem. And the men of Shechem dealt treacherously with Abimelech, that the crime done to the 70 sons of Jeroboam might be settled, and their blood be laid on Abimelech, their brother, who killed them, and on the men of Shechem, who aided him in the killing of his brother. And the men of Shechem set men in ambush against him. They sent men against him. And they robbed all who passed by them along the way, and it was told Abimelech. Now Gaal, the son of Ebed, came with his brothers and went over to Shechem, and the men of Shechem put their confidence in him. So they went out into the fields and gathered grapes from their vineyards and trod them and made merry. And they went into the house of their God and ate and drank and cursed Abimelech. Then Gaal, the son of Ebed, said, who is Abimelech, and who is Shechem, that we should serve him? Is he not the son of Jeroboam, and not Zebo his officer? Serve the men of Hamor, the father of Shechem, but why should we serve him? If only the people were under my authority, then I would remove. I would remove Abimelech. So he said to Abimelech, increase your army and come out. When Zebel, the ruler of the city, heard the words of Gaal, the son of Ebed, his anger was aroused, and he sent messengers to Abimelech, secretly saying, take note, Gaal, the son of Ebed, and his brothers have come to Shechem. His brothers have come. Now they all thinking they tough or rough. Here we go again. Take note, Gaal is the son of Ebed, and his brothers have come to Shechem, and here they are fortifying the city against you. Now therefore, get up by night, you and the people who are with you, and lie in wait in the field. And it shall be as soon as the sun is up in the morning that you shall rise early and rush upon the city. And when he and his people who are with him come out against you, you might then do to them as you find opportunity. So Abimelech and all the mighty and all the people who were with him rose by night and lay in wait against Shechem in four companies when Gaal, the son of Ebed, went out and stood in the entrance to the city. Gate, Abimelech and the people who were with him rose from lying in wait. And when Gaal saw the people, he said to Zebul, look, people are coming down from the tops of the mountains. But Zebul said to him, you see the shadows of the mountains as if they were men. So Gaal spoke again, coming down from the center of the land, and another company is coming from the diviner's cherubim tree. And Zebul said to him, where indeed is your mouth now with you? You say, who is Abimelech that we should serve him? Are not people whom you despise? Go out and fight with them. So Gaal went out leading the men of Shechem and fought with Abimelech. And Abimelech chased him, and he fled from him, and then he fell wounded to the very entrance of the gate. Then Abimelech, Arah, and Zebul drove out Gaal and his brothers so that they would not dwell in Shechem. And it came about on the next day that the people went out into the field, and they told Abimelech. So he took his people, divided them into three companies, and lay away in the field, and he looked, and there were the people coming out of the city, and he rose against them and attacked them. Then Abimelech and the company that was with him rushed forward and stood at the entrance of the gate of the city, and the other two companies rushed upon all who were in fields and killed them. So Abimelech fought against the city all the day. He took the city and killed the people who were in it, and he demolished the city and sowed it with salt. Oh, Lord Jesus. Took back, again, but Abimelech, he was only in place because God allowed it. Remember that. You're like, but he's that outside kid, killed his brother. How is he going, because God allowed it. It says, and now, when all the men of the tower of Shechem had heard this, they entered the stronghold of the temple of the God Beareth. And it was told Abimelech that all the men of the tower of Shechem were gathered together. Then Abimelech went up to Mount Zalmon, he and all the people who were with him. And Abimelech took an axe into his hand and cut down a bought from the trees and took it and laid it on his shoulder. Then he said to the people who were with him, what you have seen by me, make haste and do as I have done. So each of the people on Baal and followed Abimelech, put them together, the stronghold, got together. And excuse me, y'all, just having some issues this morning again with my eyes, itching, and then this allergy season is upon me. So please keep me in your prayers. And it goes on to say, so each of the people likewise cut down his own ball and followed Abimelech, but them against his stronghold. put them against the stronghold and set the stronghold on fire above them so that all the people of the tower of Shechem died, about 1,000 men and women. Then Abimelech went to Tebez, and he encamped against Tebez and took it. But there was a strong tower, city, and all the men and women, all the people of the city. I am so sorry, y'all. I'm just having some issues this morning reading. But God has got me, and I'm trusting in him. So Abimelech came as far as the tower and fought against him. And he drew near the door of the tower to burn it with fire. But a certain woman dropped an upper millstone of Abimelech's head and crushed his skull. Then he called quickly to the young man, his armor bearer, and said to him, draw your sword and kill me, lest men say of me, a woman killed him. So his young men thrust him through, and he died. And when the men of Israel saw that Abimelech was dead, they departed every man to his place. In other words, we have no more fight in us. We are out of here. Say the wickedness of Abimelech, which he had done to his father by killing his 70 brothers, and now all the evil of the men, all the evil. God does not play. This young man, in his wickedness and his thirst for power, killed his siblings. All, you know, 3 years has gone by. He done got away with something. God is patient. He can get away with anything. Loss is life. Says this, and all the evil of men in Shechem, God returns on their own head. And on them came the curse of Jotham, the son of Jerubbaal. After Abimelech, there arose to serve Israel, to save Israel, Tola, the son of Puah, the son of Dodo, a man of Issachar, and he dwelt in Shamer, in the mountains of Ephraim. He judged Israel 23 years, and he died and was buried in Shamir. After him arose Jar, a Gileadite, and he judged Israel 22 years. Now, he had 30 sons who rode on 30 donkeys. They also had 30 tails, which are called Habazar, to this day, which are in the hands of Gilead. And Jar died and was buried in Canaan. Then the children of Israel again did evil in the sight of the Lord and served the Baals and the Asherahs and the gods of Syria, the gods of Sidon and the gods of Moab, and the gods of the people of Ammon, and the gods of the Philistines, and they forsook the Lord and did not serve him. So the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel, and he sold them into the hands of the Philistines, and into the hands of the people of Ammon. From that year, they harassed and oppressed the children of Israel. For 18 years, all the children of Israel who were on the other side of the Jordan in the land of the Amorites, in Gilead, moreover, the people of Ammon crossed over the Jordan to fight against Judah, also against Benjamin, and against the house of Ephraim. Fought against Israel. Now, you know you're not going to win. Anyway, I digress. So let me get back into the word here. And it says, moreover, the people of Ammon crossed over the Jordan. We read that. And it says, and the children of Israel cried out to the Lord and said, we have sinned against you because we have both forsaken our God and served the Baals. So the Lord said to the children of Israel, did I not deliver you from the Egyptians and from the Amorites and from the people of Ammon and from the Philistines, also the Sidonians and Melechites and Monites oppressed you, and you cried out to me, and I delivered you from their hands. Yet you have forsaken me and served other gods. Therefore, I will deliver you no more. Go and cry out to the gods which you have chosen. Let them deliver you in your time of distress. And the children of Israel said to the Lord, we have sinned, do to us whatever seems best to you. Only deliver us this day, we pray. So they put away the foreign gods from among them and serve the Lord, and his soul could no longer endure the misery of Israel. Then the people of Ammon gathered together and encamped in Gilead, and the children of Israel assembled together and encamped in Mizpah. And the people, the leaders of Gilead, said to one another, "Who is the man who will begin the fight against the people of Ammon? He shall be head over all the inhabitants of Gilead." Here they go again, still not understanding what they do. You know, you cry out to God, God delivers you, and then you want to pick a man. And again, the word of God, the Lord shall rule over you. But every time, they forgot to allow the Lord to rule. It says in Judges 9 and 4, Abimelech hired worthless and reckless men, and they followed him. God may allow worthless and reckless men to assume power for a time, but in the end, their evil deeds catch up with them, just as God blesses obedience, so he judges disobedience. And we're seeing it played out every day on our own television screens. Don't ever think the wicked will win, because they will eventually lose. And all the folks that follow the wicked will eventually see that they forgot God. And it says this in Judges 10 and 16, his soul could no longer endure the misery of Israel. God will always judge sin, but he longs to show mercy. His first inclination always is to redeem and rescue. God redeems and rescues us every day, every minute, every hour. God is there for us, and all we have to do is believe. We will not have time today to get in all of Judges 11 and 12. Time will not permit it, so we will be saving Judges 11 and 12 for Sunday with our New Testament word, but we will go back in and read our Psalms for our Psalms today. And the Psalm that we are going to read this morning is the 49th Psalm, starting at verse 10. And it says this, but he sees wise men die, likewise the fool and the senseless person perish, and leave their wealth to others. Their inner thought is that their houses will last forever, their dwelling places to all generations. They call their lands after their own names. Nevertheless, man's thought in honor does not remain. He is like the beast that perish. This is the way of those who are foolish, and of their posterity who approve their sayings. Selah, like sheep, they are laid in the grave. Death shall feed on them. The upright shall have dominion over them in the morning, and their beauty shall be consumed, grave far from their dwelling. But God will redeem my soul from the power of the grave, for he shall receive me, Selah. Do not be afraid when one becomes rich, when the glory of his house is increased. For when he dies, he shall carry nothing away. His glory shall not descend after him. Though while he lives, he blesses himself. But men will praise you when you do well for yourself. He shall go to the generations of his fathers. They shall never see light. A man who is in honor yet does not understand is like the beast that perish. All that money, well, we talk about this all the time, that you can have all the riches in the world, but you can't take any of them with you. And some life lessons from chapter 49 of the Psalm. It says, God will redeem my soul from the power of the grave. Death will overtake all of us unless we are still alive when Jesus comes back. But one day God will break the power of death over us and bring us into the fullness of life. But he will receive us in Jesus' name. The 49th Psalm, verse 20, a man who is in honor yet does not understand is like the beast that perish. Amassing a fortune or winning the admiration of millions counts for exactly nothing on the eternal scale if a person in question does not know the Lord. Again, it is the Lord that leads us Psalms, the 50th Psalm, we will get on Sunday. Our time has run out. Judges is a very long chapter to read, so it takes a little bit longer. But we have gotten through a lot of word this morning, and I thank God for it. Before we leave, words from our sister in Christ, Sister Carolyn. Please keep her in prayer as she gets ready to travel home this week. Really blessing her and taking care of her family. Keep Sister Carolyn in your prayers. And she has a word for yesterday and today. And our word for today, yesterday was this. You have to trust that what God has ahead of you is so much greater than anything behind you. And think about this. Gideon, all these people came, 1,000 men, ready to fight. 1,000 left because they were scared. Then the next group, God said, all I need is 300. And 300 men did the work of thousands. The Lord our God is a leader. And he led them. And in the word that Sister Carolyn gave us for this morning, when life gives you more than you can stand, kneel. Have a Follow God Friday. Again, right with our word this morning. Following the Lord, the Lord shall rule over you. It is God who leads us. It is God that takes us where we need to go. Again, please keep me in prayer. Having a lot of issues with my allergy this morning. And I just want to let you all know that God got us covered. God's got me covered. God has got you covered. Blessed be the name of the Lord our God, who covers us in our coming in and our going out. And as we get out of here this morning, God just told me to go ahead and read the 50th Psalm, verses 1 through 6, and so I will. That was what I would read us out instead of our prayer book this morning. And it says, the mighty one, God the Lord, has spoken and called the earth from the rising of the sun to its going down. Out of Zion, the perfection of beauty, God will shine forth. Our God shall come and shall not keep silent. Our fire shall devour before him, and it shall be very tempestuous all around him. He shall call to the heavens from to the earth that he may judge his people. Gather my saints together to me, those who have made a covenant with me by sacrifice. Let the heavens declare his righteousness. For God himself be loved. And that is our word for this morning. May the Lord watch between me and thee while we're absent one from each other. In Jesus' name I pray over you and yours, family. Have a blessed and wonderful day. Keep God first in everything you do and watch him work in your life and in the lives of your family. The Lord shall rule over you. Trust in God. And lean not in your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. Have a blessed day, family. It is a wrap.